I go like this?
That's perfect. Yeah, that's why I love these, because they
they
just
swivel.
Yeah, exactly.
This is great.
If I always tell people, wherever you go, just take the mic with you, because
you got it.
It's
I always watch Joe Rogan, and sometimes people are here.
Oh, do you really?
Joe's biggest thing, he goes, put the mic right in your fucking face.
Yeah,
right.
I think because a lot of people forget about it, and they're just like, yeah, I'm on a TV show, I got a mic on. Like, no, it's because there's nothing that sounds better than just being right there.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. What do you think of Joe Rogan? Why is he so popular? Because I've tried listening to his podcast. It's just
you got to watch the right ones. It is very dude culture-y, which I think I'm a big fan. I think I just am interested in that.
I mean, you have a motorcycle.
Well, there's a couple things. For one, like, I'm not interested in much of his MMA stuff. The thing about him is I think he has such a wide audience because he talks about so many different topics.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're all, and he's like
something for everyone.
He's a good, exactly. And he's a good enough conversationalist that he can hold a conversation with someone talking about cars, fighting, comedy, politics, like history, diet, you know, so many different topics. So,
but what category does it fall under, you think? Like, is it funny? Is it more philosophical? Or is it just like a podcast for everyone?
It's for everyone.
Because I think it's, if you look on like Apple Podcasts, I think it's like rated the most popular podcast.
It is. It is the most popular podcast in the world right now, if I recall.
That's insane. That means he doesn't have to do anything else but the podcast.
You know what the next most popular one is?
It's
called Conversations from a Room.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of Conversations from a Room, live here from Los Angeles, California. It's a beautiful Sunday. It is February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day, and I have the best date of the night, Matt Linton. Did I say that right?
You said it right.
Oh, thank God. I always get nervous when I say people's names on the show. I'm always going to say it wrong.
No, you're good, man.
Is that short for Matthew?
It is short for Matthew.
Where does Linton come from?
I'm part of the Clinton family, and then we were moved to Sydney. That's
the worst.
I know, it's bad. I looked it up recently, actually, because I did my AncestryDNA.com
Everyone's
thing.
Doing that.
Yeah. I don't have the results.
Why is that so intriguing? I don't care at all about my past
I
life.
Do, because you can tell based on like your... Like, for instance, some people are like, oh, I'm fully Swedish or something. And then they get the results and they're like 2%.
But how
Swedish.
Has that helped you in your life knowing
well,
that you're Swedish?
I haven't received my results.
Oh, okay.
But they give you a little teaser about your name. So it like broke down where it's from. It's like an English name.
Okay.
And there's some river it's associated with. And that's it.
Oh,
that's
wow.
All I know. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not a great interesting fact.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't really care to find out.
How about Lugo?
Well, it's from Spain. There's a town in Spain called Lugo. I'm pretty sure it's Spaniard.
Do you speak Spanish?
I do. I'm fully Hispanic. I'm half Cuban, half Puerto Rican.
Yes, I remember you telling me this.
But when I say I speak Spanish, I mean I don't speak any Spanish. I've lost it all growing up. But I'm just worried that I'm gonna look at my ancestry and just find out that I have like murderers.
Yeah,
like psychopaths in my family.
There's two
and just
big.
Be like, wow, that makes total sense. It checks out. In fact, I think it might actually make me feel a little better that I'm not, alone.
There are two things that are terrifying to me about it. One is if, like, a lot of people are scared about, like, the government. Now, it's a private company, but, like, if the government somehow, like, you know, was like, hey, we need samples of all the DNA for, like, murders,
that's
whatever.
So funny. Rachel said the same thing because she just submitted hers. It was, like, through a different company. And I was like, what? Because she had it for, like, 2 years. I'm like, what took you so long? She's like, I don't know. I was just skeptic about, like, the government having all my information. So I said... Look, I love you, but what have you done? And who cares? You know what I mean?
She's like, Christian, I have something to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you're not Black Widow. Like, the only thing they're going to be upset about is that you're from Canada. That's about it. You know what I mean? So
they wouldn't be upset. They'd be happy. I love meeting Canadians.
Oh, really?
Some of my best friends in LA are Canadian. And some of my best friends from the Bay Area, where I kind of spent middle school and high school, Canadian.
They're
and I go to Canada a lot, actually.
They're all very nice people. And
so
they're very, very funny.
Yes, they
a
are.
A lot of great, funny people. Who's your favorite celebrity Canadian?
It's a good question.
Do you know any?
Oh, I know a lot. Okay, Justin Bieber. Celine Dion.
Wait, you're... Yes, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
You're naming all the people
I'm not saying I'm a fan, but I know
okay.
them.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm saying who's your favorite, though?
That's the thing. I don't know. Hold on. I do if I think about it.
You want me to name the Canadian actors? I only know
Kurt
Canadians.
Russell. I like Kurt Russell. He's Canadian.
Kurt Russell's Canadian?
He is. He is Canadian.
Hmm.
Actually, I don't know if he is Canadian,
Wait,
but I know he
Kurt
lives
Russell.
In Canada.
Kurt Russell's Canadian?
Well, all I know is he has a house in Canada. and I drove by.
Jim Carrey, Martin Short, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, Lorne Michaels, all these all-star people from
the SNL, from a lot of the Second City people.
They're all from who else? I was just
I like
about.
All those people.
Yeah, yeah. Those are like Ryan Gosling.
Oh, that's a big one.
Who's the other Ryan? Ryan Reynolds. They're all Canadian. These are all like incredible, and don't they seem like the nicest people ever?
They do,
because they're all Canadian.
Well, Lorne Michaels isn't so nice, but he's
really.
He's very
Why
talented.
Do you say that?
Well, I mean,
have
like,
you met
I'm
him?
A huge no. I'm a huge fan of his and the and SNL.
Why do you think he's not a nice guy?
I mean, he's pretty cutthroat when it comes to it. Like, he has to cut people and all sorts of. I'm sure he's like a nice guy in person, but I've watched a handful of documentaries.
Maybe he's just a firm business guy. But I'm
he is
a nice
firm
guy.
Business guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about Lorne Michaels. He does seem like you just broke my mic.
Wait, let
That's
me
awesome.
Fix the mic.
All right, well, welcome to the show, man. I'm glad that we had a nice little intro. I appreciate you coming in. Like I said, I bring people on who I felt I made a good connection with, and I felt like working with you is, you know, you were a really nice guy. You seemed like you loved to do this work out here as a Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
How did that start, man? How did this become a thing? Because you don't seem like a traditional actor.
I'm
I mean,
not.
At least like where I come from, I always assume like you can spot an actor from like a mile away.
No, I'm not. That's a good eye that you have.
Yeah, yeah, this. Yeah.
But no, I did improv and like comedy throughout high school. So like once a year we would have an improv show. And I was fucking, can I swear? Sorry. I was
flipping. This is what I say about the show. It's flipping. Not for children, but it's also not for adults. So there's a small little window right there. It's for it's dude culture. It's
you
the
can
same
edit that
audience
out.
As Joe fucking Rogan.
Okay. Well, I was really good. Okay. I was like no, I don't mean to be like bragging, but in high school, like I was funny. And I love doing this little.
I think
improv
it's important
thing.
To know when you're funny. I think it's, I don't think there should be a shame in knowing that. Man, I got something going for me. You know, I mean, I think if you're not a dick about it, but if you're confident to tell yourself that I could do something with it, that's totally.
Because I also
funny.
Know my flaws. Like I know like dramatic acting, not great.
Oh, that's
but there's
funny.
Other stuff. Like I know where I excel and do that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. So you read a script, a comedy script, and you sort of, you have like that predator vision where you see
predator.
The things that are going to work. How
people call me a
rhythm.
Predator for more than one reason.
What?
I'm just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Predator vision. Yeah.
Go ahead.
If I read a comedy script, mm-hmm. I definitely feel more
in tune.
More in tune and comfortable. Like I can get the vibe. That being said, I do think like comedy training really helps dramatic acting.
So,
really think so. Some of the best, like most famous, like... British actors, for instance, came from like sketch comedy.
I had a professor who told me that if you can make someone laugh, you can make someone cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that powerful? I always thought that was such great advice because it's almost the same muscle, but it's harder to make someone laugh. So once you figure that out, making someone cry is just the second thing. It's just it comes by default, you're already going to be able to, you know.
Yeah. And I think from a writing side, I think it's much harder to write and be consistently funny than it is to just write and be consistently dramatic.
I know a lot of writers who want to write comedy, but a lot of times they get hired for like these like CSI crime shows
because
it's so easy to write like these very sort of dark, cynical, dramatic pieces. But as soon as they have to write a joke, it's like, I couldn't get sleep for 3 days. I had to think of one joke. It's fucking hard, man.
Were they New Yorkers?
No, but that's my character for everyone.
Every writer you know.
Every writer.
Hey, I had to write a joke.
Anyway, hey, let me get some water. I'm thirsty. It's every character. New Yorker just seems like the best character to do for anything. It seems like it's out of a comic book. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So I mentioned this earlier. We were talking about how comedy is important to us. Is it comedy like an important thing in your life?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
How
I mean,
so?
I love... Well, actually, let me back up because I didn't fully answer your initial question. How did I get into it?
Oh, yes.
I was really into improv as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just took a class.
Are we talking about middle school?
Like, middle school to high school.
Yeah,
there was an improv class, and it was the coolest thing.
I think that's when the comedy muscles start to form. I don't think you really know what's funny when you're a kid. You know what I mean? Like, when you're, like, 10 or 11, like, funny to you is, like, colors and shapes, you know? It's not until you're, like, 13, 15 where you really start to appreciate... like the sophistication of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you start watching Sandler, you start watching Jim Carrey, you start watching like movies with like, you know, Steve Martin. You're like, these are funny.
They are.
But it's not funny like SpongeBob SquarePants funny. It's funny like
clever.
These guys are clever. Like Blues Brothers. I remember the first time I saw Blues Brothers, I was probably like 9. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I saw it again when I was like 16.
This
I was like,
amazing.
Oh my God, these are comedy geniuses. There's not even, they don't like laugh out loud. They're just funny, you know, like they just, the things they say.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was spot on for me.
So you started doing improv as a kid.
But I was always like, this is a fun hobby. Let me get back to school now.
Okay,
and
I see.
You know, parents-wise as well. My whole family is like,
you didn't
Midwestern.
Have improv at your school?
No, we did. Like, let me get back to
like class
work.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure. Okay.
That's actually where improv, where I started, was at school. We had a drama teacher who was like, I'm going to introduce you to improv. He wasn't like that, but he was like, he was like, look, you guys need to expand your minds.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, no.
Was he cool? Did you like your middle
school? David Muggleby.
Wow, I didn't know you went to school of witchcraft and really
at
fucking Hogwarts.
Yeah.
That's crazy. David Muggleby.
He was part of the Ministry of Magic.
Wow.
And he was a good teacher.
Good for him. The Ministry of Comedy Magic.
But after high school, like, I had done a handful of these little shows. Like, we're talking one or two a year. That was improv with like adults and like students and adults watching. And me and some other people were able to make them laugh. But I never ever even thought of it as a possible career. Never crossed my mind. My parents would never encourage that. They didn't think about it either. You know, they're like just very, came from like very blue collar Midwestern roots.
What do your parents do?
My dad now, like, he's a marketing guy. He's been like a pretty high level.
I think he told me this.
Yeah.
He's a suit. Yeah,
he has been his whole life.
Cool.
Like, he's like around 60.
But does your dad enjoy comedy? Does he like comedy? Does he watch comedies?
Like, not really. Like,
really?
He says he does.
Is he an artistic guy? What's his favorite movie? Is he like a Godfather type of favorite movie? Or does he like, you know, does he like Indiana Jones, that type of
stuff?
Is that one of his favorite
films? If not his favorite movie, is the Indiana Jones series.
Well, that's everyone. I mean, anyone who's lived in the 80s has to enjoy Indiana Jones. It's such a great, like, the arc of such a character. I mean, he's like this, he's flawed, but yet he's heroic.
Exactly.
And he's handsome, and he's the ideal man, you know?
Yeah. Afraid of snakes, right?
Afraid of snakes and little guys with swords. But So your dad was more of a kind of a corporate dude.
Yeah, and I mean, like, his parents and my mom's side as well. They're just like people who were like, I worked in a factory.
So where did the funny come from?
Well, they're both very witty, clever people. My parents, but I think neither of them. It was just never even, they're never around it. They're from Ohio, then lived in Minnesota. Like, it's just comedy in that world was never presented to them. So the idea of doing anything creative as a profession was literally, like, not registered in their head.
That's
like, it was
so
really
funny.
And so growing up, it wasn't for me either. And when I went to school at college, I went to USC, it was the same thing. It was like, I was there they had an undergrad business program.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, this seems like a good way to make money. And then after like a year or two, I was like, oh my God, this is so freaking brutal.
Wow. So it took you till college to realize that you wanted to take it serious, like acting?
Yeah. I mean, it's relatively recent.
Really? That's insane. I started when I was like in middle school. Like,
really?
I knew right
away. You knew? Was it from a play or what'd you do?
I think it was, I remember when I was a kid, I was really into like graphic art. Like, I wanted to do art. Like, I liked drawing and all that. And I guess I found it, I was pretty good at it at an early age. So my mom,
do you draw? Do you cartoon and stuff?
I don't anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I can doodle, but as much as like any idiot can doodle.
Yeah.
I don't do stick figures. I actually try to commit to it.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, I guess it was easier for me because I would do it constantly. And my mom thought to put me in classes, like art class.
That's great.
Like, I was in an art studio and all that. So that's what I started doing. And then by the time I wanted to go to middle school, not wanted to, I had to, essentially. That's the American.
I'm applying to middle school.
Yeah. But my mom was like, look, why don't you go to a magnet school for art? And I was like,
that's
great.
Cool.
And once I didn't know what a magnet school was. And then once I found out that you can do dance and art and music and acting, I was like, well, no, I want to do acting. And right away she was like, oh, yeah, of course. I just didn't assume you wanted to, but why wouldn't you? You're doing bits and acting like a fool half the time.
Oh.
That's a perfect outlet for you. So I remember doing my first monologue ever you had to audition to be in like a
what'd you do?
You know, I wish I remembered. I remember
I remember my first monologue. What'd you do?
I remember. I remember the experience. I remember being in the room with just like, it was just the drama teacher alone, And I remember just being a weird experience because I was like, I've never done this before. I'm basically performing, but I was like, am I just talking? Do I act it out? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
But I remember since then, I was like, yeah, this is fun. And so we just did plays. I learned how to tap dance. You know, yeah. We did like, you know, wearing costumes, doing all that stuff. I just thought it was so fun. And like, there was nothing else that I knew how to do besides that I was good at besides. Like, you know, it's like kind of what you say, like to reality. Like I would be in my drama class. And then the next period, I'd go to math class and be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting back there, like, just knowing that nothing is going to work in this class. But then you get to your theater class and you're just like, ah, finally, I can breathe, you know? And it's just, it completely changes you.
Totally.
And I think that's what happened. You just kind of understand what you're passionate about.
That's good you knew that.
Yeah, I knew, like, right when I was, like, 13, I knew, like, right away. And so I was just like, I'm just going to keep doing this forever, you know, high school, college, and now
nice, man.
In my late 20s, you know.
I think that's cool. You said your mom encouraged you a little bit?
Oh, yeah. My mom has always encouraged me.
Like, that's awesome. I think that's the biggest – I firmly believe the parents thing is the biggest indicator or, like the biggest force that drives you there.
I definitely think it's, like, the part that makes it the easiest for you is that you know that no matter what, your parents are kind of like on your side. That definitely takes at least 60% of the stress of doing this career. Knowing that at least my parents gave me the green light for
like
this.
No one ever said like that mattered, like family wise to me.
For any of you new parents out there, please believe in your children. Unless they're just dumb.
Or they're really, really bad.
And you're like, unless they're really bad. I think that was my savior. I was kind of dumb, and I still am, but I think they saw that I had a niche for this.
Yeah.
So where does that come in? How about your parents? If they're so kind of outside of that spectrum, how do they feel they're supporting what you want to do?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. This will be interesting if we'll have to cut this out or include it.
Why? So just in case your parents hear it?
Yeah, I mean, they probably will.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Well then, is there a way that you can explain your parents...
No, I got it. I got it.
In a way where it serves justice to them and you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's try that.
Well, so what? Wait. Reframe the question again.
So, how do you feel your parents are supporting you in your art? Like, if they're not coming from that background, do they feel like what you're doing is good for your, you know, your life, your career, essentially?
At the end of the day, I think they're super supportive and that they just want me to be happy.
All right. That's
you
good.
Know, so they're always like, hey, whatever makes you happy,
good parent, yeah.
Let's do it. That being said, I think. Just given how they were raised, like their parents literally like had no money and like came from nothing for generations. And, you know, they kind of pulled, you know, both my parents just kind of worked their entire life. They like the idea of like the creative just pursuing that is almost like why roll the dice?
Yeah.
So I think just given the fact that, you know, they were never really exposed to it heavily made it harder for them to like kind of follow me on this path, I'd say. But that being said, I think they're warming up to the idea a lot. Like my dad came to a couple of my shows. My mom was at a couple of them.
Comedy shows? Improv
yeah,
shows?
They came to a couple sketch shows, a couple improv shows, which was hilarious because like they hadn't seen them before. I was at a sketch show. I was doing a big sketch show. Okay. The first thing they've ever seen. Okay.
Where is it at?
It was at USC.
Okay.
Okay. But it was cool. It was a mock SNL class. So we put up an SNL show that was live taped and broadcast.
I think a mock SNL class sounds derivative now. Shouldn't it just be an SNL class?
No, sorry. It's not a mock. Like, it's not making
fun
of
it. Yeah, it's a bootleg SNL class.
Exactly.
Okay.
That'd be bad. Yeah. It would just be a sketch within
a
sketch.
It's a sketch.
Yeah. Meta. Just fully. No, it was. I should say it was a SNL.
Yeah, it was like a it was
prep
like,
class.
Yeah, sure,
you could
sure, say. Sure. It was just a sketch class, but it mirrored. Was it mirrored like specifically to SNL?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool,
so you
cool,
had
cool.
a live audience, and then you had cameras in front of them taping.
Oh, that's incredible!
And, like, you only had one go
USC
at all the sketches.
USC has that.
Yeah, and it's cool. They have this big center.
No
founded
way!
By
that
Robert
must have been
Zemeckis.
Incredible.
Yeah, Robert Zemeckis donated a bunch of money, so they have like
wow,
literal
Zemeckis himself?
Live. Yeah, literal live streaming of these things. And like with fully operated television,
was it live to like just college
like
kids,
local television,
yeah, like
access.
PBS and
exactly. No
but
one
still,
watched.
That's incredible.
It was, and it's cool.
Did you ever record them and watch them back?
Yeah, they were.
I know
okay.
that sounds condescending.
They were okay.
But I
no,
watched.
they were decent. Yeah. But I mean, you had a team of writers, you had a team of actors, a team of producers and directors. And
that's
like,
beautiful.
Like it is in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was amazing. And my parents came to one, and it was hilarious.
What was your role? Did you?
I was an actor.
And were you able to do two or the other?
No, but you could influence the sketches and stuff. Okay, you could kind of give input and stuff.
That's awesome. So you chose the acting. You wanted to do the bits. You wanted
It was fun.
That's great.
And my parents came. They were sitting in the audience. After the show, they were like, hey, that was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was really good. But you could tell they didn't understand anything. they were like, were you in any of the sketches? And I was, or this, they didn't call it, in any of the scenes? And I was like, what do you mean? They were like, I don't know if we saw you up there. And I was like,
Were you wearing costumes?
I was in like half the sketches. What are you talking about? No. They were like, there was that kid who looked like you, but he was like, he had a mustache on and he was wearing like a hat. Was that you or was that someone else? I think that's someone else. I was like,
no.
Dad, you understand? I was in costume. Like I was, wow. I had a wig on, I had a mustache
so
on.
So not only have they never seen a sketch show, they've just never seen a live show.
And I mean, they'd seen SNL, but like, you know.
That's incredible. They didn't even realize. How far were they sitting away?
They, in fairness, they were sitting pretty far away.
Was it like
away.
A Coliseum situation?
No, no, no. Just imagine.
How many seats were there? Is it like,
I don't know,
like
100?
100? Okay, call it 100. That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. But still.
Yeah.
Wow, they didn't even know that was you. But yeah, you know,
and
what?
It was multi-stage.
I think that's credit to your performance, though, because they.
I was so in character.
But for real though.
You were that car salesman.
yeah, you were that man with a mustache. But in fairness, though, I think they would have recognized their own kid, like the way he moves and the way his voice is and the way that his characteristics are. You can see if you saw a silhouette of your parents, you would be able to tell them. I think that you were so so involved or committed to your sketches that they were like, "There's no way that could have been him."
Well, thank you.
That guy was an idiot up there. You know what I mean?
God, it was terrible.
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, I think that's great, man. I think that's such a great support. You know, whether they don't have to be your biggest fan.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think my parents. I think my mom's the biggest fan.
Yeah.
But I think my dad's just happy to see me doing what I want. You know.
Totally.
I don't think he really understands half the things I do.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's not necessarily like. My parents never would want me to do this.
But imagine them just not caring. You know what I mean? That would be way worse.
Yeah, that's true.
But the fact that they care even just that much.
And that's great. It's a great feeling.
That's great,
you know? Hey, good job up there.
Are you going to have kids someday?
Oh, gosh.
That's a deep question.
That's a big transition.
I'm not saying you have to, or I'm not saying I'm not asking when, but
I'm not saying
do you pick your Hey man, it's free choice.
Now that you're
okay?
here, you have to have a child.
By the way, this is The Bachelor. There's 20 women here. You can pick your choosing. But like, do you see yourself being a dad?
That's weird.
How old are you now?
I'm 24.
Okay, so you're still young. You're still
young.
I'm 4 years over you.
I know. I remember you said you're 28. I think. I'll say this. Right now, it's not even on my mind. I rarely think about it.
Okay.
But I don't not see myself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I think it's one of those things, like, as a kid, I don't see myself, like,
are you,
paying
speaking
bills.
Of a bachelor, are you a bachelor type guy? Are you more of a single life, kind of doing your own? I mean, we can get to you ride a motorcycle. You have a very impressive motorcycle.
It looks impressive. It's not that impressive. It's a good one, though.
It's a good bike. What type of bike is it?
It's a Honda. It's a Honda NC700.
That's even that sounds like a machine, you know?
True.
That's funny, man. So are you into sports? Like, what's your life outside of acting?
So it's when we say acting, it's really what I'm mainly doing
comedy.
Is improv and sketch and
but
a lot of that.
But if you get hired on a job, like we met each other on an acting job. That was just an acting job.
But that's one of, I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't
true.
Done
that's
anything
true.
Big since then.
That's true.
That's the thing. Like when we say acting, it's tough to be like,
you
know, it's mainly comedy and sketch.
Well, that's good, man. I mean, like you don't have to, like a lot of guys don't have, or just people in general don't have to be like, I'm an actor, comedian, producer, director. Like, I actually thought when I moved out here, I was only going to focus on improv alone. But then I started writing, and I love writing, and then I wanted to do acting. Well, I've always wanted to do acting, so then I focused on just the acting. But then I wanted to, like, you know, make films, so I wanted to start directing and all that stuff. I'm not going to put it on my resume that I'm a professional director, producer, writer.
Yeah.
But I don't just focus on comedy. Like, I would like to do serious stuff. Like, right now I'm trying to write a play for The Fringe, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, you should.
So I always think about when I do comedy, I feel like my special ingredient is, like, just because it's me. I have, like, I know certain things. I know how to, you know, certain clicks, certain... rhythms that only I can have because each fingerprint is different.
Yeah.
But who are some comedians or actors that you steal from, that you mimic, that you have inspiration, that you see like, I like the way he does this.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a big one is Steve Carell.
Steve Carell?
A big
That's
one.
So funny. Yeah. I do not see you. Not that you wouldn't be able to, but
I know.
I don't see you as a Steve Carell.
It is tough because everyone knows him from The Office. So like if
But you mean like that I take comedy so serious that it's not like he does like the very good goofy comedy, but he's also like the very serious type of comedy.
Yeah, so a big one is him and Michael Cera. Do you know Michael Cera? Okay.
Of course, yeah.
So part this is actually for acting as well. Like the thing I excel best at is really cringy, awkward humor.
Mm.
So like I did a scene. I did a scene recently that I put up in a class where I was just in a car and a girl was talking that I was attracted to the girl that was driving the car. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about sex and what I liked. And I, as the character, was just like really awkwardly like, there's a lot that I like, you know, just like very, very awkward kind of humor, Michael Cera type, you know,
sure,
where it's
sure,
just
sure,
like, you
yeah.
can't, is this him?
Yeah.
Is this
yeah,
the kid,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
that type of stuff. And Steve Carell is similar. Like he'll
yeah,
just say
sure.
stuff like I like, like a lot of the humor I adapted a joke from The Office and it's one of my favorite jokes I wrote recently. It's not like a stand-up joke, but it was in a scene where two teens are in a melodrama kind of like talking like, I just want to get out of here. Everything's, yeah. there's so much noise in this city, you know, and they're smoking cigarettes. Okay. And one teen, the guy is like, I'm going to leave Newport Beach. I'm done with this city. And then the girl, Jane or Kate or whatever her name was, is like, where are you going to go? And Troy, the main character, he goes, I'm probably going to head to, Ho Chi Minh City, maybe I'll go to Bangkok to write for a couple months. And she goes, ah, Japan, a lovely culture. She. And it's like that, which is just so wrong.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's Ho Chi Minh City is Vietnam. Bangkok is Thailand.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like,
just,
it's, no,
that,
it's not
it's
a punchline.
It's
just,
a hipster mentality of like,
yes.
you think that you know everything. So she says Japan.
And it lands really well, but softly. So like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
like it because the audience doesn't laugh right away. She goes, ah, Japan, what a lovely culture. And then the audience is like, wait, that's not Japan. And then she says, she, which is Chinese. But again, it's like, it takes a minute. And it's like just the lack of awareness.
It's
joke.
Good that you focus on such a specific joke. It's not
yeah.
just like the fart noise, and now everyone
yeah.
laughs at that. No, it's like it's such a niche audience thing, and I think
yeah.
it only really matters for smart comedians because they're not just here to like do a slapstick situation.
Yeah.
They want the jokes to hit. The nerve, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
you need
yeah,
to
exactly.
hit the specific notes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
because
you're not just making, like, you're not just putting things together to be funny. You're making music. You know, it's like,
kind of, yeah.
Here's the
analogy.
Note, here's the rhythm, here's the beat change, you
yeah.
know? And I want to add a little special treat that only certain artists will, like, you know, like a person who really understands guitar, they can listen to a
oh,
song
yeah.
and they can recognize certain
yeah.
things that they do with a chord change or whatnot.
Yeah.
The naked ear won't be able, like any general person won't know how to recognize that. But you write for other comedians. You write for smart, or at least you write for a smart audience. Like you want people to really understand where you're coming from, and you want people to really appreciate the joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I love. I give you like a very poignant example. The rest of my jokes are probably just like ooh poop. You know?
but that's good though because
yeah.
it's like I am very much of like the poop joke too.
yeah.
But it matters to add certain ingredients to sketches,
yeah.
which puts it that little piece, even if it's just 1% of sophistication, because it goes to show that you care about the work.
Yeah. That's
so what
true.
About stand-up? Do you do stand-up too?
I did when I was still in school a couple years ago. I did a decent amount. I wasn't like hitting all the clubs or
yeah,
anything, but
yeah.
I was like, you know, doing open mics and doing some shows here and there. And I really liked it, but I got really into improv, sketch, and stand up at the same time.
Yeah.
And
it's the trifecta.
It was, yeah, for real.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was also doing school and then doing a job and like also trying to act. And I was like, I need to like narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, like, I really haven't been doing much stand up at all. And, you know, I've just been focusing on, like, kind of the other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that reason was just, like, I don't have the bandwidth right now, but I will, and, you know, whenever I become free. The other aspect was, like, I was like, should I, if I were to pursue stand-up versus improv or whatever, stand-up's super fun, and I really like the process of, like, joke writing and,
mm-hmm.
like, refining stuff.
Rehearsing it.
Because I really do, like, I find myself, like, thinking outside the box when I know, like, ooh, I have a show, I need to write more jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I think more.
Yeah.
That being said, it's more of a, it's definitely more of a brutal grind, a little more lonery And I find in some of like improv, it's like, but the audience knows we're going to fail and we don't have any prepped material. Yeah, and like, even if we mess up, it's still kind of funny. And like, we're a team, so we'll have each other's backs. Versus stand up, it's like, I'm going to fuck up the guy that goes after me because I want my set to be good.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Wow.
Not that happens a lot, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's more of a loner. You're more alone in that.
That sort of loneliness is the only way that. It's sort of the only key that you need, because it's the only time where you can do it on your own.
Yeah. Because you do a lot of stand-up, right?
I actually don't. I mean, I used to. Okay. I haven't done it in a while because I just...
You gotta, commit.
That's the thing. It's procrastination, really. The last time I did it was probably, maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
But even then, when I was doing it, it was almost like at least every other week.
You want to hear a funny stand-up story?
Sure.
You reminded me, because I hadn't done it really for well over a year. Mm-hmm. The real last time I was doing it heavily was like a year and a half
ago. I'm starting to just now. I'm going to get back into stand-up.
Good.
I'm going to try to do
love
it every week.
Hell yeah.
And I've been saying that for the last 3 months, but I'm going to do
it.
You're
doing it next week.
Yeah, yeah.
So a couple of months ago, my friend who currently goes to BYU. Do you know BYU?
BYU.
Brigham Young University. It's a school mainly for Mormons in Utah.
Okay.
It's a huge
I don't know it.
Mormon school. Yeah. But my buddy goes there, and he's one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is primarily a Mormon school. I don't really know. I don't have much in common with the school. But my buddy was like, "Hey, I'm putting up this big charity event. It's like a dance marathon type deal. Anyways, there's going to be hundreds of people. I'd love to have you help host the show with me."
Mm-hmm.
I hosted some stuff in high school with him. We vibed really well. He's a great speaker, and I was funny, and it was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "You know, you can do some comedy, you know, do a little stand-up, whatever, you know, it'd be fun." And I was like, "Hell yeah, this will be fun. You know, it'd be a very specific audience, but I'm sure I could make them laugh and do something." Okay, so this is back in October. I hadn't done stand-up in a while. And just on stage, I'm good at hosting things. I have a good stage presence and just initiating,
doesn't come natural to people.
It's one of my strengths, I'd say. Yeah, there are weaknesses.
That's a good thing to have.
But I hadn't done stand-up in a while. And right before the show started, again, I was imagining several hundred college students. Right before the show started, the first two people that entered were senior citizens. The next two were senior citizens.
Okay. Oh, no!
Then it was a couple college kids, and I was like, oh, okay. The old people just got here early.
Okay.
Then it was mom, dad, and their kid, who was six, and then a couple more kids. And I was like,
what was the venue? What was the auditorium? Was it an auditorium?
It was imagine just a venue that you could rent out, kind of a open warehouse with a stage, where you could open for a DJ set or a little thing.
Oh, I see.
Little stage. That type of stuff.
Sure.
Okay, so they rented it out for a kind of a dance battle. You can imagine with some jokes and
I imagine every Step Up movie probably did a scene in this same warehouse.
Yeah. And that's a good description.
Yeah.
And but I was imagining a bunch of college students. So I had prepared some kind of racy jokes and just some edgy stuff.
But going in knowing that it's for a Mormon school though, right?
Yeah, but I he was like, "Look, Mormons are super chill. They love the Book of Mormon. You can go,
I see.
So I was like, I'll lean
into it.
So
these are conscious Mormons. Yeah. These are woke Mormons.
Exactly. Well, that's what I thought. but by the time the show started, I was kind of panicking because there were a bunch of older people and just younger people, and I'm hosting the show.
Uh-huh.
So it's not I do my set and then I leave. I'm opening the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if my
comedy,
exactly, I'm hosting the whole show. It's an hour. Okay. So I panic. I'm like, do I do my jokes
or just play it safe?
Or play it safe.
Yeah.
And rather than just make a decision, I did the worst in between. I panicked on stage, did some jokes. Kind of didn't. Nothing landed. It was terrible. Everyone was everyone was just like, "What's going on?"
Oh no.
Anyways, so I'm up there for a couple of minutes. I end my set super quickly. I quickly am like, "Let's hear it for the BYU football team." I was just like, "Let's get some clapping and laughter in here."
Oh man,
just forcing people to clap.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, the show eventually progressed and it was fun, and the hosting was fine. But it was the most cringy moment where I was like, I literally was like, "All right, let's go up and I'll say the jokes." And then as I was saying them, I was like, I can't.
That's actually a great.
It was a big lesson learner. I'll
no,
tell
that's
that
a
much.
Great lesson because. So how do you go forward writing comedy if you change your mind as soon as you see your audience? I mean, you should be able to be like, I want my comedy, my jokes to, from the get, to relate to anyone. You know, it's like, sure, maybe you might throw in a penis joke, but maybe grandma's just going to have to put up with it. You know what I mean? Because then you're going to bring it back and make a joke about a tuna sandwich that she might think is fucking hilarious. True. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can have, like, unless your entire set is like, y'all ever having sex with a girl and she's just like, hey, let me put something in the asshole. It's like, I get it. Okay, sure. Ha ha. That's a niche audience, but.
That's a good bit. You should follow up on that one.
That's my only one.
Please start your
set.
That's
my closer. But I guess it's just like, it's funny knowing that, like, a comedian writes his stand-up, you know, let's say it's like 10 minutes long. Like, he's like, he has like a set. And as soon as he goes out, he starts to regret what he wrote because he sees that the audience may not. But I think the power of a comedian should just be like, look, what I have is what I have, and this is going to be my thing.
If I was just doing like a 5 to 10 minute set, I would have just done it and been
But what was it that you felt wouldn't relate?
Not much. It was more of just like, there were a couple of jokes where I talked about like how many minorities in the audience? Oh, none. We're in Provo. Like, just stuff where it was like.
But that would have been fine.
I think it would have. The problem, what I was saying is, I hadn't done stand-up in a while.
Oh, so the majority of it was just that you were just nervous.
I think it was, I know what it was. I panicked because it wasn't exactly what I was expecting. And had I been a more veteran stand-up, like one who'd just done a bunch of shows in a bunch of different places, I wouldn't have been rattled. But since I was rattled, my set was just garbage. And then the hosting and everything that just was natural was fine. It was great. It was fun. But if I had been practicing more and like been more consistent, it wouldn't have been a train wreck.
I mean, that's any person. I mean, we all have faults of like procrastinating, just like, oh, it wasn't my 100%. That's just like, I've come to the point where that happens all the time.
Yeah, it does.
But what do you do? How is your anxiety on stage? Like, what do you have anxiety? Do you ever have like heart palpitations? Like, do you have panic attacks? Do you have any of that stuff in your life?
I mean, I have been anxious at points of in time, but I'll tell you this much. My anxiety, just like here, sorry, let me set this down.
You're good.
My anxiety on stage, like just stage fright in general, went from like, you know, 7 or 8 out of 10 before shows, we're like, holy fuck, this is happening. Just how, as most people would, to like really low after I did a bunch of improv. Because when you get comfortable, there was actually like a moment in time where I switched in my head, where I actually can remember like almost the show, or at least the kind of the period of shows, where I was like, whoa, I just went up on stage and was not scared. And you always get a little bit when it's like, and coming to the stage is Christian Lugo, you know?
I think it's when I started performing more, like specifically improv and also theater, the more I was comfortable with my like team, you know, my cast essentially, is when I felt the most comfortable.
Absolutely. And once you've done enough shows, that's the thing. Like, I'm now at a point where I know if I'm in an improv show and there's an audience, regardless of the audience makeup, I'm going to go out there and I'll be a little nervous when they're like introducing Matt and Christian.
It's always the moment
second
before.
But the second the words come out of my mouth, that's or it. The first thing, I'm totally
sure there. Yeah.
Totally
yeah. It's
there.
Like, it's almost like this adrenaline that just kicks in. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's no going back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite thrilling.
I wish
everyone, well, a lot of people have like fear of being on stage, but I wish everyone can at least experience one time, like, performing in front of a live audience. Oh, yeah. There's something about it that is just so insane.
And there's something with
it's
improv
crazy.
Or stand-up. Improv or stand-up is just the best. I would love it if, I think that should be like a requirement in like school or something.
Well, that's why a lot of times, like, I think companies be like, okay, we're doing a retreat and we're taking an improv class.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it helps, dude. It helps with your social behavior.
You know? Absolutely.
But this has been super great so far. Let's move on.
Yeah, sure.
I love everything we've been talking about. This is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. The CEO of this new product called the Motivational
Poop Station. Motivation Poop Station.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It is called the Motivation Poop Station. We have its creator and CEO here, Brian Stensers. Thank you so much for being here, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
How did you come up with this product?
Look, I was a fat piece of shit for years.
Oh, wow. That's, I think honesty is your policy.
Honesty is our policy. In fact, we don't lie. The toilets that we make at Motivation Poop Station, They can't
lie to
you.
Beautiful name, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, not only does it rhyme, but it fits in with exactly what the product does.
It does. It motivates you by violently shaming you.
Okay, so let's explain this so the listeners get an idea. So this is a toilet that you sell. People can have it in their homes. People can have it in their buildings. They can have it in offices. But what makes this toilet so different from the others?
Look, Chris, I'm going to walk you through what I do every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the kitchen. I grab a warm cup of coffee.
Should I close my eyes?
Yes.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
After having it, the caffeine goes right through me.
I see.
I have to go. So I quickly, nimbly go to the bathroom, sit on my motivation poop station.
Mm-hmm.
After going, wiping, flushing.
After doing your business.
I look back at the toilet. It has a little monitor on the top, you know, the top lid where that's over the water.
It's one of these smart toilets.
It's a smart toilet.
Oh, I see.
In fact, it's a very intelligent.
Oh.
And a little face will come up, kind of like an Alexa, if you imagine.
Oh, okay.
Except our version is we call him Flushy. Flushy, okay?
Wow.
Flushy, like Clippy from the Microsoft.
Yeah, the little paperclip.
It's
like
his
cousin.
Is he
still around?
No.
Okay.
No. He's long gone. So Fleshy will basically be like, hey, what's my name? Peter.
No, your name is Brian.
Brian. Sorry, Peter's my middle name. He'll say, hey, Brian, you're doing great today.
Wow.
But, you know, because my whole system is flawless. But mm-hmm. years ago, they'd say, hey, Brian, you piece of shit. You're a fat loser.
Wow.
Yeah, it would just scream at me. It would call me names.
So this is a kind of a coach,
yeah.
kind of a abrasive yet motivational. Yeah.
It'll say
speech
like
that it's giving.
Yesterday you said you wouldn't eat chocolate. I just detected Godiva in your system.
Wow.
You fucking asshole.
This is a real Full Metal Jacket situation.
Yeah. In fact, we've had some instances of
people
losing,
breaking
people,
out
breaking
with these.
Down.
Wow. I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. We've had.
But over time, as you start to progress in your stool, the toilet starts to give you.
Better results.
Really? And it shows or knows your improvement, and it actually starts to become more
positive.
Impressive with you,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly.
Wow, that's incredible.
So as you get better health-wise,
mm-hmm.
it will start insulting you less. It'll usually throw a jab or two in there.
Oh, really?
Even if you're healthy, it's like, hey, you know.
Just to keep you humble.
Yeah, just to keep
you
on humble.
Your toes.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, do you have, is there a sort of a, as these products do, they have sort of a default voice for them. Do you have celebrity voices do it?
We do.
Well, who's your most famous celebrity voice on this?
We got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
You know who a lot of people resonate with? It's a very great motivator, is Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have Gordon Ramsay just screaming at you.
How do people react to the Steve Buscemi voice?
The Steve Buscemi voice has cause some trouble.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Because he's aggressive, but he's kind of snarky too, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. And we also obviously have their face there.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes in the middle of the night, you'll be going to the bathroom and Steve Buscemi's face will come with his
on the screen?
Yeah.
That does not make it easy.
It does not make it easy to go to the bathroom. And
what's the voice that you chose?
The voice that I chose? That's a good question. It was Ice Cube. Ice Cube. Yeah, he was good.
That's incredible. Well, any promos or any promo codes for our listeners?
We have several promotions mm-hmm. going on right now.
For the holidays. What's the next holiday coming up?
The next holiday is President's Day tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay, what do you have? You have a special promo for President's Day?
President Taft died on the bathroom, on the toilet. So
I actually think that's true.
It is, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, so tomorrow if you enter in Taft.
Wow. Capital T-A-F-T.
Taft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
it's just Taft.
/ Conversations from a Room.
Conversations
And we'll get, was it 20% off?
Oh, no, 10. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
10%
so
off, 10% off.
I'm so
But that equates to $200 off. Because it's a $2,000 item.
Of course. Well, Brian Stelzer's, I believe that was...
Stelzer.
Brian Stelzer, thank you so much for coming down. I've used these toilets. They are incredible. It has changed my life. It has changed my stool. And honestly, I feel like I'm a better man because of it.
It does produce a better man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks
for having me on, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
A pleasure.
And back to the show. So I always ask the guests, okay, what's your favorite film? What's one of the worst films you've ever seen?
Okay.
And what's your guilty pleasure film?
Sure.
Let's hear a favorite film ever.
It always changes. I have like a top five.
All right,
but my first one,
right,
if
now?
I have to, oh, right now?
Yeah, right now.
I would say my favorite film, if I have to choose, is Saving Private Ryan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
that
but there
a
are
really,
a
really
lot.
Good one. I remember when I first saw that, I was like, why did it take me so long to watch this?
I'm a big war movie guy.
Okay.
And just like battle scenes and stuff. Gladiator is another top one for me.
What'd you think of 1917?
Loved it.
Great,
loved
right?
it. I'm glad Parasite won Best Picture.
Yeah,
because but
it's
I'm glad
film.
1917 won Best Cinematography because
it was
the best cinematography.
So good.
It was
just
phenomenal.
Every part about it. From the moment it started, I was like, this is it. It just for being a war film, you never. I felt so comfortable watching it. I know. It's weird to say because it's like it keeps you on your toes, but comfortable in the way where I was like, I just want to take this ride.
I know.
I just want to.
It was
see
like a
go.
Ride.
It was like one of those like. Like in Universal Studios, where it's like the sequence by sequence, you're just kind of watching it as you sit down and enjoy it. It was so good. I think it would be
a really fun movie to be like. Obviously, all the main actors are insanely talented. I think it would be a really fun movie to be like one of those main actors. Because you have to be like in character doing things for like 10 minutes on end.
Yeah.
Which is just like
but
really
any,
hard to
any
do.
Any war movie. I mean, I would love to be in any war film. Yeah. Just something about it that just seems so.
Actually,
you know,
our cast from Hollywood would have been is honestly like kind of what would have been
yes,
cast. Like,
you're
Saving
right.
Private
you're
Ryan
right because it is like
Brothers.
A platoon sort of situation. It's like you got the guy from you know. I always think of Forrest Gump. He's like, we got a guy named Tex from Texas. We got the guy who tells all the jokes. Or like you ever see the original Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, of course.
Like every person was like an archetype. You know what I mean? You have like the guy who cracks jokes the whole time. You got the big Schwarzenegger guy.
Yeah.
You got
the
cool African American guy.
Yeah, the quiet one.
So
that eventually says something really important.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I
that was like that guy that we were on Hollywood with that came the wrong day. He was
oh
there the first
day,
and then the second day he was with the other group.
Raleigh.
Yeah,
Raleigh.
I hope
yeah.
he hears this. We love you, Raleigh.
My, that's so
true. He just
true.
Sat there
he
in
was
silence.
The silent guy. We had the jokester, which
you were.
I guess I was the jokester.
You were the jokester.
We had the big guy, which was John.
Yeah.
You were just the all around good guy.
I think I was a normal.
Yeah, you were like the safe one. Yeah,
I was
yeah.
the safe one.
Yeah. Not in a bad way, but you were like. You would be the one that they would follow. You know what I mean?
Good,
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had
Josh Gilmer. He was Tex. He was Tex. Josh Gilmer. All right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Here we go, guys. Yeah. He was just the guy. He had a bunch of weird facts.
Yeah.
He just always had a cool story.
You know, he used to sell Oakley sunglasses. You should bring him on the pod.
I should actually. He seemed like a really
he
cool guy.
He told me that before acting, he did sales and used to sell
Oakley
sunglasses. Yeah.
Those,
I think it was,
dude, back in the 2000s?
No, it was Maui Gems.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what, you were going to say your top three. What's your top three?
Well, let's start with this year. So my favorite film of the year, like I watched a bunch of them, bunch of the noms in, like together basically in a short period of time.
Yeah.
I loved Parasite.
Yeah.
Then it came down, I was like, Parasite or 1917, I can't decide, which was my favorite. I'm glad Parasite won, though. Mm-hmm. I loved it. But my pick of the year, eventually, it was one of the last ones I saw. Favorite movie of the year was Uncut Gems.
You know, it's funny. I enjoyed Uncut Gems, but out of, do you have Letterboxd?
I have my own version. I actually do it handwritten.
That's,
I love it. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretentious.
Because I've done it since like 2013.
See, out of 5 stars, I gave like Parasite 5. I gave 1917 5.
Yeah.
I gave Uncut Gems like 4, 4.5.
Okay.
I don't know why that, for some reason, I don't know if I maybe just wasn't a fan of the film.
It's very different.
Yeah, it is very different. I think because it felt like as soon as it started, I mean, the moment it started, you felt kind of nervous the whole time.
But
it's an
uneasy
film.
You have anxiety, real anxiety the whole time. You're like, holy shit.
And I'm assuming that was their goal. Like the brothers. That was like
the Safdies.
Yeah, the Safdies brothers. That was like their idea. But there was something about the movie that I kept expecting something to happen.
Okay.
I kept expecting, okay, something's going to happen. Like this is where it's all going to change. But it was all kind of, It was all kind of the same idea the whole time until the very, very end. Spoilers.
Yeah, wait. Big spoilers.
Big spoiler at the end. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like a big moment at the end where I remember the whole audience just went,
yep.
Like everyone was just like, no. And yeah. I think that's the reason why they felt, okay, here's the button.
Yeah.
Because I knew they knew that that was what was going to be the turn of the entire audience. But they needed to wait till the end to do it. Where I felt like, okay, cool. He's just putting himself in a hole every moment. Every moment he's just digging this hole deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess I was just I like movies where something starts to, like the beat starts to change every now and then. I felt like it was sort of too consistent.
It was like 10 out of 10 anxiety whole movie, I understand. Yeah. What I loved about it though, what I'd say is, one, the ending was entirely justified. There was nothing. I couldn't argue anything at the end where I was like, oh, that, like, everything paid off to the end. So, like, spoiler, stop listening if you're listening. Can I say, like, at the end?
Yeah, why not? Okay, if you haven't seen it, guys, I'm sorry.
Turn out right now.
Yeah.
But when Adam Sandler wins that big bet, you're like, all right, is it really going to be a happy ever after?
Yeah, like, what good is actually going to come
from
this?
It was awesome when you're like, oh, my God, he hit a six-way parlay. Like, this guy's fucking insane. But then so-and-so pulls the gun, bang. So real what would actually happen.
Exactly.
And then they smash everything. You hear the sirens, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And then shot their boss.
They shot their boss.
Which doesn't make sense in like, because you're so used to watching like Sopranos or The Godfather. It's just like, if you got to kill the boss, you might as well kill yourself. These guys are like, no, fuck you. In real life, that's how
they were just hired guns for this guy who was also related to Howie Arnold.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay, what I loved about it, what I'd say is the dialogue and like the pacing was insane. I could tell they said they redid the script 80 times, which is insane. But what was cool is you could just tell that there were certain points where they literally just said to like KG, Adam, Julia Fox, who's gorgeous and amazing, by the way. She was his
girlfriend.
Mistress girlfriend. Yeah. Where they were like, here's what we want you to get across. Now we just needed you to fucking yell at each other and improvise it. And I thought the dialogue and the arguments were like so real.
Yeah.
It was like listening. I was in the room and that was really going on versus other times you're like, oh, I'm watching a movie. There it's like, holy shit, these people are really arguing. And it's hard in my mind to have music playing, multiple characters yelling, and movement on the screen. Like that, I think, is a recipe for a disaster in a normal film. But they pulled it off in a way where I was like, oh, my God, I can understand what – yeah, it was cool.
I remember hearing an interview with the Safer brothers.
Safdie
brothers. That they were saying specifically the film where they're fighting outside of the club.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a closed set. Like there were really? People walking by.
I fucking love
it. And not knowing that was Adam Sandler because he didn't look like Adam Sandler and just be like, whoa, these people are having a huge argument right now. Yeah. Like it was just an open street and they just had like, I think their crew was like 40 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that was the beauty of that film too, is that, you know, whenever they would film stuff outside, like in New York, on the street, they didn't have closed sets.
That. And they're notorious. I forget the names of their other films. But regardless, what they're notorious for is street casting.
Yeah.
So they'll literally cast people in their movies that are just like, hey, you look like who we think you'd be.
Yeah.
So like Julia Fox was honestly basically a nobody. And she killed that
role. She was great.
She was phenomenal.
I loved Kevin Garnett.
KG. He was fun to watch. And I really do believe that Adam Sandler should have been nommed.
Why do you think he wasn't? I mean, he got the Spirit Award.
You know, the Academy likes some films and doesn't like it wasn't nominated for anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But I thought I really thought he was probably one of my picks. I was like, this guy's the best. He was.
Were
that
you
guy.
Overly impressed with Adam's performance, or did you think this seems like something? Do you think he'll continue to do stuff like this?
Well, you heard it. Did you hear his quote? He said, if I'm not nominated by the Academy, I'm going to do four dog shit movies. Just
oh,
to spite
really?
You. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It was a joke, but he also did just sign a deal, his production company.
Yeah, because he's like, why not? He's he's going to keep doing weird movies.
I think he is so talented that he can do anything. He could do serious movies or non-serious, but he's the kind of guy that's like, hell yeah, I'll do Grown Ups 3. I'll make $20 million, get to hang out with my friends, and not have to give a shit.
But I like Sandler doing stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
But he was less improv-y in Punch Drunk Love than he was in Uncut Gems. Because they would, like you said, they would just tell him an idea and he would just riff on it. You know what I mean?
Which is awesome.
Okay, cool. So really quick, what's like one of the worst films you've ever seen?
Oh, when you asked, I can never remember. I just like block bad movies.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know what movie I hated? But it's not like a notoriously bad film, but I fucking hated it.
What?
It was the Will Smith and Margot Robbie movie where they rob
everyone. Oh, yes. I know. I forget what it's called, but it's what like, is that? They're like, what's that called? Close of hand trick. Sleight of hand. Yeah, the sleight of hand people.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. And that was like
right after Margot Robbie did.
Yes.
Did Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
So she was right out of that movie. I think she might have even been nominated for like best supporting actress or something.
I hated that movie.
I know. I never saw it, but it looked bad. It was just, and it, you know what was funny? It was around the same time that that magic movie with what's his
Jesse
name?
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah. So it was like, why are all these weird magic movies coming out?
There is that trend where it's like, what is going on?
Yeah,
why are
all and that was made? A weird movie. What was it about? Why?
So all it was Margot and Will Smith are part of this gang that steal a bunch of shit from people.
Okay, so like, it's like a heist magic film.
But yeah, that's but what, it was. That's what it the, was. It, there was. There wasn't.
But
magic.
That's what Now You See Me was. Yeah,
it was terrible. Now You See Me like knew what was up. I wasn't a big fan of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. But it was. But like, at least fun. It was like a fun film. Yeah,
this film was like trying. I don't know. I don't even.
That is so
bad.
Weird. Every now and then you'll get a film movies. Like that, dude. It's so weird. Okay, so what's like a guilty pleasure film? Like it can be a bad movie that you just love watching over and over.
The Dark Knight.
Oh, that's a the perfect one. That
I've
perfect.
Seen that movie. I can quote almost the entire movie.
But do
that's
you
one
consider
of
that a guilty pleasure, though? Because that's considered
you're
like...
right. That's not a guilty pleasure. That is just a one I watch a ton. Like, I'll watch
But
like,
that's... You know what? That is a good... That could just be one of your favorites.
It is
know?
One of my
Dark
favorites.
Dark Knight is
Let's
amazing.
No, there, I don't know if there's a guilty pleasure movie. The thing is, I don't actually have one like that that is that way. My family does.
Mm-hmm.
We always watch Christmas with the Cranks. And,
no
Chevy
way.
Chase's Christmas Vacation for
that's so
Christmas
funny.
Every year.
Ours is Jingle All the Way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
With Arnold.
Yeah.
That's our favorite. All right, let me get this going because I know you got to leave soon.
No, I got what time is it? 7?
7:14.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Time flies.
Yeah, I know.
I
know.
Good conversations. I won't have to leave till like 7:40.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So recommend one book that you would want. You would suggest to the audience a book that really spoke to you or maybe changed you or that you'll never forget reading.
Oh yeah. There, I know it in my head, but I want to preface it by saying I don't read much. I really don't.
That's
I read
okay.
a
that's why
ton
I only
of
say one.
Sketch. Yeah, that's good.
Everyone's at least
I have
read
a phenomenal
book,
but I always, this question I love mm-hmm. as long as it's one book because I have
yeah.
more.
I used to
but
say books,
I literally,
but just one.
I literally like, I read a ton of scripts, a ton of sketches, and I read a ton on my phone, but
yeah.
not like
it could
books.
Be a play.
No, it's my favorite book of all time. It's called Matterhorn. It's
oh, I think I've
awesome,
heard of it.
Awesome book. It took, it's so it's about the Vietnam War.
Okay.
And it's written by, I forget his name, but this guy, it took him 50 years to write it. He wrote like a little bit every year.
Why do you think you're a war buff?
I don't know. I think I...
Is your dad into stuff? Because like, my dad like watching like Ken Burns
A little
Burns
bit.
Stuff.
Yeah, my dad likes the Ken Burns stuff. Mm-hmm. He likes some of that stuff.
Just like, are you a history guy?
I think so, yeah. I just, you know, I was a big... I like video games. I played a lot as a kid. I think
Call
it was like
Duty
the battle
stuff.
Aspect
okay,
is
okay.
really interesting to me. I like Roman and like
Like
Greek
Gladiator.
Warfare. Yeah, I love
sure,
that
sure.
stuff. And also, yeah, just like I was exposed to like Band of Brothers and like... Saving Private Ryan,
okay.
all those classics, kind of younger. When
so Matterhorn?
Matterhorn.
Who wrote it?
I forget his name. It's, I'll look it up in a second.
It sounds great. I love like old school. Is it what year? Is it Vietnam War you said?
Yeah, it's the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And it's a fictional piece that follows that it's basically nonfiction.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's like fictional characters with like fictional names, mm-hmm. but it all revolves around what actually happened to this guy. And it's incredible. It's like terribly sad and horrifically brutal.
Oh wow!
But
it's
like
beautiful.
It's one of those books. It was. It's one of the only books. One I cried when I read it.
Really?
Yeah, I've never
God,
cried.
That's not
yeah.
possible.
Yeah, I cried.
That's
at
hard
one
to
point.
Do.
I was like, not like bawling, but I was like welling up
yeah,
tears.
That's
and
insane.
And I remember distinctly. I threw the book across the room.
No,
because it was so powerful.
That's
like,
incredible.
Someone does something so terrible in it, where you
Man.
And you're so connected. You're like,
that's
I hate this. I
that's
threw
the
it.
Power of literature, man.
Yeah,
that's
it was
so
crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah,
that's a great recommendation.
It's,
I have to check
that
out.
I recommend it. It's like I haven't read it for years, but I read it a couple times and it
well,
was
good one, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to find out the author.
Yeah.
All right, so these are the fun sort of
okay.
end of the
Hell
show
yeah.
questions. Okay, so I always like to ask the guests, what is your go-to, your ultimate, your dream breakfast? It could be anything.
Oh, that's a good question.
Even if it's like the unrealistic thing to eat.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I have a great answer for this.
Oh, there's no wrong answer. How about
well,
that?
Well, I'll start with this. I love smoothies. I love smoothies.
Okay.
So whatever I eat needs to have a smoothie.
Generally, everyone says pancakes, waffles, bacon, but no. you're a smoothie guy, huh?
I do love those things that you just mentioned.
But you're talking about...
I need a smoothie with whatever I'm eating for breakfast. I don't actually have it that many. I don't have a smoothie maker.
But a smoothie is the...
I love them.
Top of the chain.
Oh, yeah. So whatever I eat, I'll
have a
smoothie.
Is it a protein smoothie?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I'll have a protein shake later in the day.
Okay.
I'll have like a banana, maybe some strawberries in there. Maybe not, though.
Is it more creamy or icy?
I don't like it... either of those.
Okay,
I like
right
it
in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I would rather have it more. I don't know. I just really
just
like
love
it.
Smoothies.
Yeah, I don't know. Really
but is that a whole? Do you usually make them, or is
I
it like
rarely
a special?
Because
it's a whole process.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love smoothies.
It's a lot of cleanup,
but I will not. I don't have a blender.
Oh really?
I literally don't have a blender because I don't. I'm too tired.
So
I'm
when
too lazy to clean.
So like on a good day, like on a Sunday, you go get breakfast. Like I want to go get a good smoothie. What's your dream smoothie then?
It changes. I love mixing it up. Like going, we're like, ooh, at this place I've never been. I need
to get
this smoothie.
So it's saying that, are you an acai guy?
Do you like I do like acai bowls. I like Nature Well. I go to a lot. They have good smoothies and good acai bowls. And then Earth Bar, I've been to.
There's one called Quench down the street.
Quench? I've only been once, but it was
just
good.
Just acai bowls are so expensive.
Yeah, they're really expensive.
I mean, they're pretty big, but man, they're expensive.
Yeah, and like actually, contrary to what a lot of people think, they're not very good for you. They're not like...
Because they're a lot of sugar?
It's just a shit ton of sugar.
Yeah.
But it's not like fatty and awful, but it's like...
Because fruit is sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
So we got, let's say, bananas.
Yeah.
Strawberries.
Yeah, let's throw strawberries in.
Blueberries.
I'm going to hold off on blueberries.
Mango.
Oh, I love mango.
Mango's good.
I think I like heavy banana. I like a lot of banana. Let's throw in mangoes.
Because it's the most creamiest.
It's creamy.
There's not much water. And when you think of fruit, you think it's really watery. You want a creamier. Okay, coconut?
Coconut's the other one I was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe banana, coconut.
Some
peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
Just a little.
Okay.
Not too much. Little peanut butter. If it's too thick, no.
Man, this is you at the counter being like, all right, we want totally like 95% banana.
I'm from New York again.
Yeah. Just put a splash of coconut and a little bit. I mean a little bit of peanut butter, okay?
Too much PB, I send it right back.
Yeah. All right, that sounds good, man.
Yeah, but then I'll probably get the standard, you know, maybe some eggs over easy.
Oh, okay.
Some pancakes, bacon.
But sausage. What's most important to you is a good old smoothie.
Yeah,
that is so funny. I haven't gotten that. That's great. You know what? Smoothies are fucking bomb.
They are delicious.
I'm glad that's a good option.
Yeah.
All right, cool. This is your unrealistic dream job.
The first thing that came to my mind was like a successful sitcom actor. Just like someone like on The Big Bang or something where you just make a million.
Obviously that's like your dream job, but this is like the other thing you would have done, like astronaut, NASCAR racer.
I think another big one would be like a sponsored Red Bull athlete.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
But what sport? Would it be like one of the bizarre ones? Like
I think it would be like base jumping or something.
Yeah.
I'm super into that shit, but I don't
really.
Do
that's
it.
So funny.
Like I've skydived.
That's a great one. Yeah. So just like a professional skydiver or something like that. Like how do you even start doing stuff like that? How do you become a professional?
You
in that
know
field?
Why I'm interested in it?
Why?
My freshman year of high school, a guy who was one of the execs at Red Bull came to give a presentation to us because a parent happened to know him. It was a weird connection. Anyways, he's talking to all these freshmen about how Alex Baumgartner, I think his name was, is going to jump from the highest point, you know, jumped 120,000 feet in the air.
Wow.
You remember that?
But so, without a parachute?
With a parachute.
I think I know what you're talking. He was in a spacesuit. Yes,
yeah.
I do remember this.
It was
amazing.
This, and this was like a year or two before it happened, or three years before it happened, 4 years. So he was talking about that. And he like gave his fat presentation and it was just weird. He was talking to all these kids who are like studying to go to college. And he was like, yeah, if you ever want, like hit me up. I'll like
help
you.
Damn, that's crazy.
It was just wild.
And so for a second you were like, maybe I should.
For a year or two, I was like.
Oh,
honestly,
a year or two.
No, I was just like, in the back of my mind, I was like, I should
There's
be like
always
a skydiver.
This. There, I always have skydiving. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right, man. Do you believe in reincarnation? And if you do, what do you think you were? Or who you were in your past life, whether it be another person or an animal?
I don't think I do believe in it, but I think I'm very into. I love animals, so I think I was probably an animal. What type I could of see myself.
I love the cold. I love snow.
Really? So you're like a snow leopard?
I was thinking that. I would love to be a snow leopard. Or just and like I'm weirdly introverted, so a snow leopard would be good.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's
wait, a snow
like
leopard's
a rare
cool.
Species.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah, man. Snow
I normally,
leopard.
You know when they say, what's your animal? I normally choose eagle just because I like them.
Because you're very patriotic.
I think, no. Well, yes, I guess. I don't know. I think, again, I'm like agnostic.
That's so funny. That's such a bold one to eat, snow leopard or eagle. I'd be like, ah, it's probably a cockroach in my past life.
That's
or
funny.
A hamster.
Yeah, a hamster or just like a shrimp or something.
Shrimp. That would be the worst
or like
one.
Like a guinea pig.
So, wow. So you'd be a snow leopard. That's bold.
I think I would, although I'd probably be like poached. You know, don't they get killed a lot? Just like killed by some.
Well, no, because they're so rare. You never see them. They only come out. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I guess you would get poached like every now and then. But, I mean, just like any other animal does get poached.
Man.
All right. This is a quick game of this or that. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra?
Dean Martin.
Cool. Coen Brothers or Tarantino?
Coen Brothers.
All right. That's a good one. Disney World or Universal Studios?
Don't care. I don't like either of them.
Owen Wilson or Luke Wilson?
Owen.
The Office or Parks and Rec?
I love both. Office, though.
Okay, cool. Friends or How I Met Your Mother?
Friends, but I hot take. I'm not a big fan of either.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Whiskey or beer?
Beer.
Soup or salad?
Depends on the day. Let's go
depends
salad.
Depends on the meal.
Let's go salad. Yeah.
All right, cool, man. Marvel or DC?
This is a hard one for me, man.
Yeah.
Marvel's just so historically better, but my favorite movie is The Dark Knight.
Oh, that's
or like,
so funny.
Like it's like my favorite
like
superhero.
Like, Batman
movie.
Is such an iconic
yeah,
character.
I love
you don't
it.
Wanna yeah.
I mean, I almost want to give the award to Marvel, but I feel like my heart is like the best thing I've watched is
DC. Yeah. And then there's Joker now, which
exactly.
is like one
which
of the
I
best
enjoyed.
Films of
I
all
really
time.
I really enjoyed it actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people that I know didn't like it. I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
But DC. I'll go DC.
All right, cool. That's a good one, man. I think it? You're the first DC person.
Yeah.
No, we got a few more. Indica or sativa?
I don't smoke.
If you could, would you choose?
I don't know. I don't know the difference.
That's so funny.
Which is the one that calms
indica's
you?
Indica's is the calm, and sativa's
okay,
the more
probably
upper...
indica then.
Yeah, that's what, that's the norm. Old school or new school?
I don't know if it's how old and how new. Is it like hipster culture?
The way I see it is like old school. Like I like old school mentalities. I like I like to keep things the way they've always kind of been. And I have not in a very closed-minded way, but it's like I like old school, you know, like I like old cards, records, you know, or is it new school where you like integrating new ideas?
No, I'm new.
You're the first new school. That's so
funny. I love old stuff, but I think I'm like I'm the kind of guy where like damn, that's a nice Maserati from the '60s. No, from like 1960. That'd be awful to drive. Let me get this new Chevy Volt.
That's so funny. New school. Yeah. You would be new school.
Yeah.
Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Early riser or night owl?
Both, unfortunately.
Yeah. It depends, really.
I have a day job that I have to get up at like the crack of dawn,
but
I
still, you'll
late,
be out late.
And then I'm like, I hate myself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think that's the majority these days.
Yeah,
tacos or burritos?
Burrito.
Cool. Star Wars or Harry Potter?
Harry Potter.
Cool, man. That's a good one. Sci-fi or spaghetti western?
That's another really hard one.
Wow, 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 wow. Or
probably sci-fi.
Yeah,
but I
great.
Love spaghetti westerns. I just think there's more content for sci-fi.
They need to make more. Like
they do.
Let's see, Shortcut or Scenic Route?
Scenic Route.
Good man. Superhero or supervillain or the person working at the coffee bean while the building comes down.
I mean. Probably the superhero.
Yeah.
But the third answer is hilarious. And also there's an element of
because
like
the third answer is the third layer of like, okay, the superhero has to be this all great guy. The supervillain also has to be this all evil guy.
Yeah.
And they're so important. But then sometimes you're just kind of the guy who's like, the building's coming down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because sometimes you are just that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The comedian in you wants to just be that guy.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh no!
Oh
no,
my God!
Yeah,
not again!
Yeah.
Why do I still live in Gotham? Yeah. This happens every week.
All right. I think that might be everything I wanted to ask you ever. That's it, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I love this episode. This was a great
episode. Dude, this is a blast.
Do you want to go ahead and promote yourself? I like to ask the guests about promote yourselves on social media or anything.
Sure, I guess. I don't really... That's the thing. This is a big problem for me, Chris. Mm-hmm. So I have been told by many people that I need to actually use social media more. I don't really use it.
Oh, I'm not saying you have to.
No, but I will promote myself. Yeah. And I will apologize in advance if I haven't posted in like 10 years.
I never post.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's mostly
I do stories every now and then.
So that people know what you look like if they listen to the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. My Twitter handle is at the real Donald Trump. You might know. No, my Instagram, I think, is really the only one I use. Matt Linton 11.
Perfect. Awesome. We'll check you out, man.
Yeah, please.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for listening to the show. Please download, if you want to listen to the show, download the podcast app for Apple or whatever phone you have. You can listen for free on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and leave a rating, a review. Tell your friends. Tell Nana. Tell everyone you know. If you have any questions or thoughts, message me on the Instagrams, on Christian Lugo. And thank you for listening, guys. Thank you again for tuning in. This has been really fun doing this stuff. Thank you, Gilbert Louis Ray, for the theme. And this is my sign off. I begin a sentence and I have the guests finish it for me. Is that cool?
Let's do it.
So thanks again, guys, for listening to another conversation from a room. Have a nice night and...
Go Team LeBron.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. What's something that people like to use every day?
I'm going to think interest. A toilet.
Okay, I haven't had a toilet advertisement yet.
We're going to, no, we don't want to lean into the poopy fart stuff.
Oh, but that's the good, that's the
okay,
best
fine.
Part. Maybe it's a smart toilet?
Like a smart toilet. Yeah. It analyzes your, does it like analyze
oh,
your stuff?
It tells you, you have
like
been
exists.
Having enough fiber, but not enough vegetables.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You're a fat piece of shit, Chris. Lose some weight, piggy.
Oh, so it's not a nice toilet.
No, it's one that's a total dick, so it motivates you. I love it.
Okay,
so
what's the brand called?
It's called, it has to be something aggressive. But the toilet shames you. The whole thing is the toilet yells
because
at
you. You have this ego and it shames you, so then you let your, it lets it shed your ego off.
The motivation poop station. What about that?